Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Good morning, I'm Bo Henricks here on The Morning Show. On Thursday, April 4th, I, along with teachers, parents, and other family members, along with members of Delta Kappa Gamma's Lambda chapter, gathered in Pippin 1 room at the Richland Hospital as we listened to stories written by students from local schools, all part of the literary competition program sponsored by the Wisconsin State Organization. Lambda this year continued its long-standing tradition of sponsoring events for Richland County students. 103 students presented stories. Six schools participated in the program: Richland Center Intermediate and Richland Center Middle Schools, St. Mary of the Assumption School, Eagle School, Weston, and Ithaca Schools. When it came to the contest, there were guidelines that had two formats. Traditionally, all students wrote a story, and with hand drawings located throughout the works, illustrated key elements of the story. There were different word limits established for each grade level. In recent years, the Wisconsin State Organization added an option to illustrate the story using photographs taken by the author or a family member. Quite recently, the internet was added as a potential source with, as is common in literature, requiring each source to be documented at the point it is inserted. It is my privilege to be able to share with you this morning on The Morning Show the winning stories that the students for each grade level read at the event. We'll start off with Caleb Waterfall, who began the evening. He is a third grader at Richland Center Intermediate School. His teacher is Jessica Parr, and he read his story, Bob the Carrot. It was a great start to the evening. Here's Caleb Waterfall.
This is my story, Bob the Carrot. Bob woke up with a start. What? Oh, counting, he called. Bob had slept in again. This had happened for the last 4 days. He almost always woke up really late. He sat down the stairs in a hurry. He didn't want to be late to work again. He quickly ate his cereal and shut out the door. Bob got on his skateboard and took off onto the street. He skated down the sidewalk and saw Fred eat a piece of broccoli. What's up, Fred? It's going good here. You? I'm doing good, too. Well, I have to get going, so bye, Bob said. Then he sped away. Hopefully today will be a good day, thought Bob. Soon Bob got to work. Sweet work, he said as he skated up to Garden Serve restaurant. He worked his 7-hour shift and then went home. He met three people on his way home. First, he met Daniel, the pepper. Second, he met Lily, the cucumber. And third, he met Aubrey. She's a leaf of lettuce. Finally, he got home. I'm home, honey, he called to his wife. He made himself and his wife a delicious Alfredo. Then he read a little and went to bed. He woke up early the next day. He got ready for work, and this time walked to work. He got there early that day and helped until they opened. While he helped, he talked to his friends and learned that there was going to be a parade that day. They would have an hour off of work because of the parade. His friends included a piece of asparagus, a piece of broccoli, Fred, and a zucchini. But when the time of the parade came, they each split up to go watch it. Bob thought it was fun. He was delighted every time they came by his house. Eventually, though, he had to go back to work. At the end of a 7-hour shift, he walked home and saw one of the people he had met earlier. He was just walking around the corner and he saw Lily. She had just walked around the other corner. They talked to him and Bob learned that Lily was moving. Oh no, he thought, I just met her. Finally, he got home and took a long nap. He woke up just in time for dinner. After a mouth-watering dinner, he read and went to bed. The end.
Again, that was Caleb Waterfall, a third grader from Richland Center Intermediate School. Up next, we move to fourth grade, and the winner was Alexandra Bakken. And her story was A Homeless Penguin. Her teacher is Stephanie Joyce, as Alexandra goes to Richland Center Intermediate School as well. Here's Alexandra Bakken with A Homeless Penguin.
One day, a girl named Allison was walking home from school. Then she heard a noise. It sounded like chirping. Allison looked over and saw a baby penguin. Allison ran over to the baby penguin. She picked him up and then looked in his awful eyes. Allison decided to take him home to feed him, also to give him a home. When she got home, she went to the fish. "Uh-oh," said Allison. "We don't have any fish." "I know what to do," said Allison. "Dad, can we have fish for dinner?" said Allison. "I thought you didn't like fish," said Allison's dad. "Well, I was thinking I could try," said Allison. "Okay," said Allison's dad. "Come here," said Allison. "Wait, I need to give you a name," said Allison. "How about Max, because I love you to the max." The penguin named Max nodded. "Yes," he said. "You can talk," exclaimed Allison. "Of course I can," said Max. "It's your love for me that makes me be able to talk." Max, said Allison, "it's time for bed." "Okay," said Max. They walked and waddled upstairs to Allison's bedroom. Allison picked him up and said, "Good night, Max," as she tapped him in. The next morning, Allison had to go to school. Allison said to Max, "Bye, Max. I'll see you tonight." "No," Max said, as he ran as fast as he could to catch up with her. Max finally caught up with her. "Take me with you," cried Max. "Okay, I will," said Allison as she picked him up. Then they were best friends forever. That was the story of the homeless penguin, the end.
Again, that was Alexandra Bakken, a fourth grader. When it came to fourth grade, there was actually a tie. And it also went to another fourth grader who also had Stephanie Joyce as a teacher at the Richland Center Intermediate School. His name is Dylan Putz, and his story was Fishing Fanatics.
Fishing Fanatics. My name is Red, and I love to fish. Actually, the part I love most is catching fish. One of the greatest fishing trips in my life took place in the summer of 2022. I was lucky enough to go on a Canadian fishing trip with George and Herman to Musker Lake in Saskatchewan. George is the whole reason for my love of fishing and why I got to go to Canada. You see, George is my uncle and Herman is my grandpa. Uncle George taught me how to fish and is very patient with me. He even has his own boat and lots of fishing rods and lures. Herman showed me a few fishing tricks, but mostly how to sleep. I have never been to such an isolated area. We drove all the way from Wisconsin to Saskatchewan, where we took a seaplane to Monster Lake. We stayed in a cabin on an island in the middle of the lake. The cabin didn't have running water, so we kind of stunk by the end of the week. We had some power thanks to solar panels on the cabin roof and a generator. We packed a lot of food, plenty of bait and lures, and three fishing rods for each of us. We were tired from our travels, but I was so excited to be there. I begged Uncle George to take me out fishing as soon as we got settled into the cabin. Grandpa stayed back and napped while we headed out in a super cool boat that was part of our rental package. The boat was made of wood that was carefully polished. I've only seen a boat like that on YouTube, never in real life. Uncle George started the engine with ease, and we set course for a secluded bay in hopes of finding a trophy muskie. We tried our biggest lures and caught nothing but weeds. We switched to smaller lures and started catching walleyes. We kept five big ones and headed back to the cabin. Grandpa was finally awake and he cleaned the fish while I gathered wood for a campfire. Uncle George gave me hints on how to build fire. After supper, I roasted marshmallows for all of us. We went to bed early that night since we were exhausted. After a good night's sleep, we all got up early and boated to a new fishing spot. We saw eagles, pelicans, loons, and lots of jumping fish, so we knew the fish were going to be active. We caught lots of fish, but no muskies or pike. It was a sunny day, and Grandpa and I were both starting to get sleepy. Uncle George kept fishing while we napped. I woke up and decided to fish again. I caught the biggest fish of the day, a pike. Uncle George couldn't believe that he was being outfished by an 8-year-old kid. The next 4 days were filled with swimming, fishing, rock collecting, and of course, napping. The time to pack up and head for home came. Much to my disappointment, we piled our gear on the dock and waited for the seaplane. I started to fish off the dock with my favorite pole. I caught a 56-inch muskie just before the seaplane landed. What a monster. Probably why Monster Lake got the name. I didn't get a picture, but I'll never forget it. I'm so happy that I got to go on this fishing adventure. The end.
The next student to present during the evening was Presley Baronic in grade 5. Presley's teacher is Shelley Schrader, and she goes to Richland Center Intermediate School. When it came to her story, the title was Walter's Scary Yet Exciting Day. Hope you enjoy it here on The Morning Show.
Walter's Scary Yet Exciting Day. Hello, my name is Walter, and I'm a sea turtle. I live in the Pacific Ocean in Hawaii. I'm 10 years old, and in sea turtle life, that's almost an adult. Anyways, I better get back to jumping waves. Walter, Mom called down in the coral reef. I was jumping waves, so I was at land level. I thought my mom was joking when she said I had to go to the deep, dark sea. I guess she needed some sea urchins to eat. So there I went. I've only ever seen other turtles and fish, so I was a little nervous. What is that, I asked myself. Mom had talked about scuba divers and boats, but this? What was this? I had to get out of here, I thought. Wait, I think these are crabs. There were crabs all along. I wondered why there were so many. Even though I wanted to observe the crabs, I had to get sea urchins. I was almost there until something came up to me. This was huge. I couldn't even think, I was so nervous. It swam closer. What is this? Repeated in my head. I knew what it was. Suddenly, the fear left and I realized it was a scuba diver. Mom said they won't hurt me, so I felt fine. I kept on swimming. The rest of the swim was a little bumpy, but there were no more unexpected creatures. I was finally in the deep, dark sea. I went down to some coral and looked around. I had never seen a sea urchin before, but after everything, I knew I would know. Then I saw them. Sea urchins. I knew they were these little black spiky rock type things. I picked up 6 and started home. On the way home, I saw something. Was this a shark? Mom said they were gray and white. It was a shark. Oh no. Uh-oh, at this point, I need to swim fast, I said out loud. At this point, it was chasing me. I went by the crabs and the scuba diver. Finally, I made it home. I went inside quickly and called out Mom. After a long seven-hour day, we got to eat the sea urchins. This might be my favorite food, I thought. It was the best day ever. Aside from the shark and other scary things, it was the best day of my life. The end.
That was Presley Baronic in grade 5. But also in grade 5, there was Chase Cook during the evening who read his story. Chase was awarded the Lambda Illustrator Awards winner. One of two. And Chase, his story was Fun Times for Trucks and Cars. When it came to Chase's teacher, it was Shelley Schrader. And he also goes to the Richland Center Intermediate School. Here he is, Chase Cook, Fun Times for Trucks and Cars.
My teacher drives this truck. Look at the Baja lights. You may see this car using the racetrack. Someday I'll have this truck to go off-roading with my dad. My grandpa uses this truck to go into town. If you prefer derby cars, this is the one for you. I like movies with crazy action scenes. This car is up for the job. This dually hauls big loads of Holsteins.
Again, that was Chase Cook. It was time to move on, though, after that to grade 6 during the evening, as we heard from the other Lambda Illustrator Awards winner, Stella Woodhouse. Stella's teacher is Jill Polanka, and Stella's story was called Baja Baby, Baby's Visits.
Baja Baby, Baby's Visitors by Stella Woodhouse. One day, in the Baja Baby spaceship, Poppy woke up in her room. She lives on a spaceship deep in outer space. Beep, beep. Looks like someone wants Poppy to go to the control center. What is it? Poppy asked. Well, Mama said, we will be getting visitors from that planet, she said, pointing out the windows. I should dress up for them, Poppy thought. A dress? A skirt? Maybe a necklace? Or my dino suit? Poppy ran through the halls of the Baja Baby spaceship towards her room. She dug through her costume box and picked out a necklace, a crown, and her green dino suit. Beep, beep. They're here. Poppy raced through the halls and skidded into the Teleporter 500 room. Just as she entered, they were beamed in. She gazed at their short, fuzzy bodies. Welcome, Mama said, to the Baja Baby spaceship. And say hello to the Baja Baby herself. Hello, Baja Baby. Hello, Baja Baby. Hello, Baja Baby, they each said in turn. Hello, Poppy said shyly. My name is Poppy, actually. Ooh, said the pink one. Look, she has ears like mine. My name is Winnie. So cool, Poppy agreed. Now let's get to our business, Mama said. You kids go play. The tallest green one and the shortest blue one stepped forward and went out with Mama. Winnie and Poppy grinned at each other and raced through out of the Teleporter 500 room and ran through the halls. They played for the rest of the day and had loads of fun.
Again, Stella Woodhouse with her story, Baja Baby. In grade 8, the winner was Emily Thomas from Eagle School. Emily's teacher is Christine Brenninger. And when it came to Emily's story, the title was Trail of Glitter.
I was on my way home from school with my friend on one of the coldest evenings of the season. It was already fall and it hadn't snowed. But the tips of our noses and our fingertips felt like we were stuck in a freezer, eating ice cream while watching Frozen. Margaret, my friend, asked diffidently, Yeah, what's up? Did you ask your mom about coming over tonight? No. Margaret, she paused on the sidewalk. I'm sorry, I just haven't found the right moment to ask. My mom's been so busy with work recently. I didn't want to stress her out. But I promise I'll ask her when I get home. Pinky promise, pinky promise. Once I got home, I sat by the fire and did my homework, with my dog Louie next to me. While petting him, I noticed shimmering glitter on his golden fur, which struck an idea. Maybe I can make Mom a card for when she gets home. Then she'll definitely let me go to the sleepover. I scurry up to my room with Louie short behind me. I grab the glitter that my grandma bought for my birthday, which she knows I love. I take out the pink, purple, and green glitter containers and pour them into a big bowl. With the dish in my hand, I go to grab the glue. When I accidentally trip over Louie, I panicked until I caught myself before the glitter fell out of the bowl. If I had made a mess, my mom would have grounded me for my entire life. I was so relieved, I didn't even notice the door. Without looking in front of me, I walked straight into the bedroom door, knocking the bowl out of my hands and the glitter straight into the carpeted flooring. My heart sank deeper than the Mariana Trench. I couldn't believe it. I made one of the biggest messes of my life, and I not even in middle school yet. While staring at the glistening tragedy, I heard the front door creak open. It was my mom. Hey, I'm home, Margaret. I had no words. I knew this was the end of me. Then I saw Louie get up and go see her, which revealed the hiding place. Why is this dog trying to ruin my life? Are you supposed to be man's best friend? I heard my mother's footsteps like banging drums in my heart up the stairs. I knew exactly what was about to happen. Hey, Mark. It had been 40 minutes of my mother lecturing me about how careless and inconsiderate I am. I wish I could just tell her what happened. Maybe she wouldn't be so mad. Margaret, you need to start paying more attention to things. I clean this house every day just to come home with it as a mess again. But Mom, I didn't really mean to. I was trying. Margaret, I don't want any excuses. I just want the truth. Until you can give me that, you're grounded to your room for the rest of the night. I could tell my mom was disappointed, even though she sounded calm. There was no use in trying to argue. Once I went upstairs, I cleaned up the mess and sat on my bed. I was so mad at my mom. I wish I would have been at the sleepover by now if it wasn't for her. Then an idea sparked. I'm going to go to that sleepover. It was almost 7, and I was getting ready to sneak out. I had my bag packed, my bed looked like I was sleeping in it, using one of my old dress-up wigs and some pillows. I was ready to go. I opened the window, and thankfully there was a tree right outside of it. I climbed down it and started my adventure. The only problem was I don't know exactly where her house was. I've only been there a few times, and my mom drove me. And that's when my mom drove me. It had already been half an hour, and I still had no idea where I was going. I remember one time my mother was dropping me off at my friend's house and she was running late for work, so she took a shortcut through the woods. It was getting cold out, so I took the shortcut, even though I'm not sure what path it was. As I walked, I noticed it was colder than I realized. I was getting so cold, I felt too tired to walk. I knew I should keep going, but I just couldn't. I found a nearby tree and sat next to it. Maybe I should rest my eyes for a little bit. 5 minutes couldn't hurt. As I was shivering, I couldn't feel a thing. Misty clouds came from my breath, and my eyes felt heavier and heavier until I closed them. I soon realized what was happening, and I called out, Mom, I tried and tried, but I couldn't get louder than a whisper. After a while, it just hurt, until I heard what to me felt like a miracle. Margaret, Mom, I tried to get up, but my legs felt numb, and my heart was racing rapidly. Then I felt nothing. I woke up to a rhythmic beeping next to me and a warm hand in mine. Once I gained consciousness, I realized I was in a hospital bed with my mother next to me. She hugged me at once. I remembered everything. Mom, I asked wearily. Yes, Margaret? I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have ran away. I shouldn't have made that mess. I shouldn't have gotten mad. It's okay. You're safe now. That's all I care about. How did you find me? A trail of glitter.
Again, that was Emily Thomas with Trail of Glitter. It was time to hear from grade 9's winner, who was Lucian Hamblin, also a student at Eagle School and a student of Christine Brenninger. It was time to hear from Lucian's story, which was War of Seven Nations, The Inaccessible Forest.
We left off our three adventurers, Henry, William, and Jack, who claimed the Dragonborn's Axe of Ebony, an axe that can absorb evil, from the palace of the Kingdom of Man. The trio now set out to find the Dragonborn's next weapon. They knew they must leave the land of Nord and cross the inaccessible forest into the giant's territory to look for the next weapon at the giant's mountain. The continent divided into seven nations. The three adventurers left Man's nation of Nord, a large city surrounded by an inaccessible forest. Man had gone to great lengths to cast spells and around the forest. They headed to the land of giants, which was a nation of lush forests surrounded around a freezing mountain that stood at the center of their nation. They reached the border between the Nord and the inaccessible forest. What makes it inaccessible? Jack asks. The forest will block the sky and it will grow dark. Stranger things will happen the longer you stay in the forest. You'll start to hear voices and see things that are not there, at least you hope aren't there, William said. William's family had collected many books, and William loved to read about the nations. The books were gone, but the stories remained to comfort William. Groups of people ended up losing half their members or more by the time they come out of the forest, William added. Those are only stories, right? Asked Jack. Why are you too afraid? William asked. No, Jack snapped. What if we made camp outside the forest? It's starting to get dark, Jack said. If we stay here, the guards will find us and we won't be able to stop this war, Henry said. William reminded them, we started this journey after the Argonians killed our families and burned our homes. We stole the Axe of Ebony from our leader because he would not help us. Remember, the whole point of this is that 500 years ago, a hero named the Dragonborn had used his power to unite the nations. According to the books I found in the remains of my house, the Dragonborn hid himself away to wait when he would be needed again. So we need to continue our quest and not get caught by the guards. We need to try finding him, Henry said. William continued. The Dragonborn's whereabouts could be found from clues that on the Dragonborn's seven weapons, but we only have the first weapon. They slowly walked into the forest. They walked for a few hours until they set up camp. As they cleared brush for their camp, they heard a scream. They looked around and did not see anything in any direction. They continued to watch as they built camp. They really had no choice but to continue, and as they finished, they heard a clang of metal, then nothing. They sat and strained to listen until it was time to get out their bedrolls. Henry dreamed of going through the woods, but as they did, shadows followed behind them. He woke up shaking and sweating. They packed up the next morning and wearily continued. As they went, it got darker. Was it not sunrise just a bit ago? Asked Jack. As they kept going, a low rolling fog moved in. They continued on like they could not hear the distant sounds of mournful moaning. They continued, but the moaning did not stop and just got louder and louder. Then the sounds of small chimes started but it kept getting louder and louder until it was as loud as a church bell tolling. They fell to their knees and covered their ears as best they could to the deafening sound. They stopped, but their ears continued to ring. Abruptly, a glow appeared in front of them. And he asked what appeared to be a specter. Who are you? The specter responded, you should be asking me who I was. Who were you then? Quipped William. My name is Uthar, and I was a warrior from Nord. The lands were young and the settlements small. We divided the continent into seven nations. The lands were prosperous and flourished. However, some of the nations grew hungry for power. I was stationed as a guard on the border to protect the Nord from invasion. The Gargonians, a nation of aggressive lizard people to the south, were the first to attack. A royal mage from our land of Nord cast a wicked spell that trapped our souls in the accessible forest to protect the borders. Some spirits turned dark when they could not return to the loved ones Uthar then paused. So why are you here? Uthar asked for a moment. We want to cross the forest to find a great hero, the Dragonborn, to put a stop to this war, Henry said. I don't know why, but I believe you, the Spectre said. I will help you find your way. As they made through the forest, they felt a presence all around them, following them, and the forest started to get brighter and more shadows danced around them. As they cleared the trees and the shadows, the members of the party sighed with relief. We have made it to the edge. I wish you the best on your journey, said Uthar. It's been a pleasure, replied Henry. They headed away from the forest quickly, but Henry hit an invisible barrier and was thrown backwards. Once he recovered, he heard a whisper come from behind him. No one leaves without a sacrifice. They looked to see a shadowy figure. A black robe flowed off of him, and his eyes glowed red. Someone must become one of my soldiers for the others to go free, said the Dark Spectre. I would rather fight than give up my life willingly, said Henry. I second that, said William. Stand here, said Jack. Henry looked at his friends and that came up beside him, and giving him a sense of strength. Then you all shall perish, said the Spectre. With that, the Dark Spectre launched an attack at Henry. Henry dodged, and the spell hit the tree behind him. The tree's green leaves turned to brown and began to rot. Jack tried to hit the Spectre, the Dark Spectre, ignorant that the Spectre cannot be hurt with physical attacks. The Dark Spectre sent Jack flying backwards with a fierce blow. Once he landed, he lacked the strength or will to get up. The Dark Spectre waved his hands and prepared a spell to finish him off. Then Uther stopped the Dark Spectre by grabbing him from behind. Use the axe, Jack yelled at William. William did not move. Henry ran for it and grabbed the axe from William and ran towards the two specters. You might have been a great wizard, but all that magic is useless at close quarters combat, Uthar shouted. You think I was a great wizard? I am nothing. The great mage is stronger than me, responded the Dark Spectre. Just as he finished speaking, Henry hit the Dark Spectre with the axe. The Spectre flowed into the axe. The patterns on the axe turned red to blue, showing the transfer from evil to pure power that can be used in the future. Thank you. I have been trying for hundreds of years to be rid of him, Uthar said. Are you not free to go to the beyond now? Asked Henry. We are not. This curse does not leave after the caster is gone. The one known as the great hero can break the curse. Until he returns, we are to wander the woods for eternity. However, with the corrupted wizard gone now, no others will be forced to join his eternal army again, said Uthar. Uthar disappeared from in front of them. Suddenly, Jack grabbed William by his collar and demanded, What happened back there? You stood there and did nothing. If Uthar had not intervened, we would have died. I froze, responded William, and he dropped his head in shame. Make sure it doesn't happen again, said Jack. Are you two done? Because we have a war stop, Henry stated. They shook their heads in agreement. Good, let's get going, Henry said. They walked to the border and reached out to see if they could go through. Nothing happened. As they continued through the land of the giants, the sky got brighter. The trees went from small pines to huge oak trees and blocked most of the view of the giant's mountain. People speculate why everything in the giant's land is so big. Some stories tell of giants dying in the forest and their bodies decomposing, making the forest grow. Other stories say that that massive mountain at the center of the nation was from the corpse of one massive giant, the largest that had ever lived, William explained. Hopefully those dead giants don't mind us walking on them, Jack said jokingly. At sunset, they finally reached the mountain's base at the center of the line of giants. Oddly, they had not seen a single giant on this journey. They looked up to see how high it was. It reached beyond the clouds. How are we going to climb that? Jack screamed at the mountain in frustration. One step at a time, said Henry. The end. Mm-hmm.
Again, that was Lucian Hamblin of Eagle School with his story, War of Seven Nations, The Inaccessible Forest.
I've learned simple steps that can make a big difference. Tickets are available at RidgesandRiversBookFestival.org.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
Step into a world of charm and discovery at the Avoca Mercantile. Embrace the joys of spring. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Explore the extensive array of unique and budget-friendly finds, from exquisite crafts to delightful home decor and gifts for all occasions. With new arrivals daily, there's always a fresh surprise in store at the Avoca Mercantile. Support local artisans and treat yourself to a delightful shopping experience. They can't wait to welcome you.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time is sponsored by Computer Connections, Y-Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities. And by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you. Also sponsored by BL Signs, your full-service sign company. Well, the forecast for today, cloudy and blustery, rain developing by midday, a high of 59, and southeast winds 15 to 25. Breezy with occasional showers and thunderstorms tonight, a low of 51. We're at 44 degrees.
BL Signs is a full-service sign design company in Richland Center. They specialize in manufacturing all types of interior and exterior signage for all applications to meet the client's needs. They offer internally lighted extruded aluminum sign cabinets, post and panel signs, non-lighted acrylic letters, LED lighted channel letters of all types and sizes, printed in solid color vinyl lettering, and graphics. Call BL Signs at 647-0149 and see what they can do for you. BL Signs, Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here's what you need to know. Potential for some flooding in parts of Wisconsin this weekend tops the news.
National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Quigley says early readings show local flooding chances through Sunday.
There are still a lot of question marks in terms of how exactly the forecast is going to evolve. So we're kind of going to be monitoring trends over the next 24 to 36 hours.
Parts of southern Wisconsin could see 2 inches of rain. That could mean local flash flooding and water over roadways. Keep an eye on the forecast for any updates. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The National Drought Monitor says that for the first time in nearly a year, most of Wisconsin has normal conditions. The areas in drought shrank from 28% to 19%, while the abnormally dry parts of the state went from 75% down to 43%. The worst drought areas are far north central Wisconsin and the lower Wisconsin River Valley, or south of I-90, but north of the Wisconsin River in southwestern Wisconsin. Richland and Sauk counties still in a moderate to severe drought area, according to officials. Plenty of rain is in the forecast for the weekend, which could improve those conditions. Richland County Sheriff Clay Porter and Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson report the arrest of Tasha Elaine Sittig, 32, of rural Lone Rock, for offenses which began last week. On Wednesday morning, April 17th, at approximately 10, the Richland County Sheriff's Office was notified of a hit-and-run crash that occurred at the intersection of County Road C and Pine Road in the village of Yuba in Richland County. No injuries were reported. However, the striking vehicle, described as a black SUV, reportedly left the scene and was last seen traveling north on County Road H toward Vernon County. A Richland County deputy arrived at the scene of the crash and met with the victim, who reported that the SUV is being operated in a reckless manner and the crash may have been intentional. At approximately 3:30 that afternoon, the Vernon County Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center received multiple reports of a black SUV being driven recklessly in the village of Viola in both Richland and Vernon counties. One of the callers reported the vehicle drove through a barricaded portion of North Commercial Street, State Highway 131, that was under construction. The SUV, bearing the same license plate number as the hit-and-run victim reported, was located in the village of Viola, and the operator was identified as Tasha Elaine Sittig, 32, of rural Lone Rock. Sittig was taken into custody just before 4 and transported to the Richland County Jail and booked on charges of second-degree reckless homicide endangering driving safety, in disorderly conduct, and resisting or obstructing an officer. Siddick appeared in Richland County Circuit Court the following day for a bond hearing, and bail was set at $500 cash. Formal charges were filed by Richland County District Attorney Jennifer Harper. Siddick was also cited for 3 traffic infractions. On Monday, the Vernon County Sheriff's Office was notified that the operator of a black SUV had driven recklessly through the Kickapoo Area School's campus on April 1st and again on April 17th. During the investigation, video evidence and multiple witness statements were obtained. There was no school on April 1st, but students were present on April 17th and in the vicinity of the suspect vehicle that traveled through the campus at a high rate of speed in the wrong direction of a one-way portion of the road in front of the school. Charges of first-degree recklessly endangering safety are being sought through Vernon County District Attorney Angela Palmer Fisher. On Thursday morning, April 23rd, Tasha Siddick appeared in Vernon County Circuit Court via Zoom from the Richland County Jail, where she was still being held on the cash bond ordered in Richland County. A $500 cash bond was also ordered in Vernon County. 3 special conditions of bond are: she may not come within 500 yards of Kickapoo Area Schools, she may not possess or consume any controlled substances unless prescribed by a physician, and she shall comply with random drug testing by law enforcement upon reasonable suspicion of recent drug use or possession. Siddick is due back in Vernon County Circuit Court on May 7th at 8:30 and Richland County Circuit Court on the same day at 1 for initial appearances. In Madison, officials are ready for Saturday's Mifflin Street Block Party. Madison Police Central District Captain Mike Hansen said at a Thursday press conference that while the event generally starts out very jovial, the concern is the day goes on, the alcohol consumption grows. The annual event draws thousands to the downtown area near the UW campus for a day of excessive drinking and the problems that accompany that. 2 years ago, several people were injured when a crowded porch collapsed. This is the 55th year of the block party. Hansen said that Madison PD works with the Dane County Sheriff's Office, UW Police, the Madison Fire Department, and other city departments to try and keep everyone safe. Give the gift of life at an American Red Cross blood drive, which is being held today from 11:30 until 5:30 at St. Paul Catholic Church in Mineral Point, and Monday 1 until 6 at the Laval Fire Department. Book a time to give by visiting redcrossblood.org, call 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Wisconsin election officials are considering how far election observers need to stand from poll workers on Election Day this year. The Wisconsin Elections Commission met yesterday to get public feedback on a proposal to make observers stand 3 to 8 feet from election workers. Commissioners will meet again in late June.
It's internet for everyone from Y Connect Wireless. Y Connect Wireless provides high-speed internet to rural communities throughout southwest Wisconsin with options for unlimited internet with no contract required, so you can stream all your favorites. Catch the local broadcast with a professionally installed TV antenna. Call 524-1579 today and ask how to save with bundle packages, or visit WIWC.net for details. Y Connect Wireless.
A high temperature of 60 today. It could get a little blustery. Southeast winds 15 to 25. Rain developing by midday, according to the forecast. And occasional showers and thunderstorms for tonight. A low of 51. 76 tomorrow. And then as some cool air moves in, there could be some isolated heavier thunderstorms early tomorrow evening. After the midnight reading of 49 and a low of 43, we're starting to get a little bit of a glimpse of the sun at this hour, and it is 44 degrees.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
Sports Time, sponsored by Mr. G's Downtown Viroqua and in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your local source for clothes, boots, shoes, and for everything in style you need for work and play, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look at a busy sports schedule from yesterday. The Brewers even the series with a win, and the Packers take a tackle. When the look is casual, the name is Mr. G's. When the emphasis is on activewear, the name is Mr. G's. Because Mr. G's Clothing truly is a special clothing store. Now is the best time to update your casual wear for spring and summer with a selection you'll find at Mr. G's. Choose from all the top names, from casual to activewear, and from dress shoes to work boots. The name is Mr. G's. Mr. G's in the Richland Square, in Richland Center, and Viroqua.
Choose Mr. G's.
In high school softball yesterday, Riverdale held off Southwestern 9-8 in a game heard on WRCO. The Chieftains never trailed and were up 7-0 before the Wildcats made a comeback that got them within one after a three-run top of the seventh. Macy McKay was the winning pitcher. She struck out 8 of the first 9 batters she faced, finished with a total of 13 in the game. The Wildcats had 5 hits. McKay was 4-for-4 at the plate and a double and 3 RBIs. Jocelyn Adams was 3-for-5 with 2 doubles and 2 RBI. Also, Aubrey Williamson was 2-for-4 with an RBI, and Kennedy Cooey had an RBI double. Riverdale with the victory prepares for a makeup game with Fenimore later today, scheduled now for 4 o'clock this afternoon. Elsewhere, it was a win for Ithaca over Lafarge, 6-1 and 15-1. Olivia Young was the winning pitcher in Game 1 for the Bulldogs. Also, Ariana Lewis pitched 5 innings in the second for the victory, leading the Bulldogs. Kickapoo, a 6-4 victory over DeSoto and 10-4 in the nightcap. Also in softball, Highland 5-1 over Judah Albany, and Hillsboro beat Bangor 5-2. Also a win for Wonewoc Center over New Lisbon, 10-7. Prairie du Chien 14 and Dodgeville 3. Also Azika Steuben took 2 from North Crawford, 15-0 and 18-0. In baseball yesterday, Richland Center got the win against Dodgeville, 8-3. Lane Miller was 2-for-2 with a single and also hit by a pitch and 2 intentional walks. Also on base a total of 5 times. Brady Dodge scored twice for the Hornets and leading the way. Also yesterday in the Ridge and Valley Conference, Weston 9-1 over Seneca. Garrett Jennings got the win on the hill, going 5 2/3, allowing a run on 4 hits, a walk, and 5 strikeouts. Trevor Westfall closed the game, and Garrett Granger was 2-for-4 with a double and 2 RBIs, as was Isaac Jennings last night. And Garrett Jennings 2-for-4. Colton Newman 2-for-3, leading the Silver Eagles to the victory. Also last night, it was Sammy Clary with a big night for the Bulldogs. They took 2 from Lafarge, 8-0 and 11-4. Clary worked just over 8 innings in the games last night, and also at the plate had a home run and total of 7 RBIs in the 2 games. Also last night, it was Wazika Subban 10-0 over North Crawford and 18-12 in the nightcap. Viroqua 9-3 over Black River Falls. It was a win for Riverdale over Highland. That score was 5-2 as the Chieftains got away with a win last night in a very good game. Chase Chitwood, Andre Tainer would come on to escape a bases-loaded jam in the seventh to nail down the win. Chase went 6 2/3. Also, Carson Kenyon would go 3-for-4 in the game with a big-time catch to end the game. Emmett Drone 2-for-4 with 3 RBI, and Chase and Andre would also collect 2 hits in the game as the Chieftains improved to 6-4. They have a game scheduled later today with Iowa Grant that's been moved now to a 4 o'clock start time for that one. In high school golf yesterday at Dodge Point, Platteville won the event, going with a 173 as a team. River Valley was second at 180, led by Gavin Davidson's 41. Richland Center with a 180. Roman Johnson and Connor Hying each fired 44s on the day. High school soccer, Wisconsin Heights Barneveld over Richland Center, 8-0. Platteville Lancaster 3-2 over Reedsburg. The Hornets soccer game with Lacrosse Logan will not be held tonight. It's been moved to coming up this weekend, and not tonight. It'll be played on actually Monday, the 29th. In track action last night, that was held at Royal, the Gerard Bruner Invitational at Royal High School. For Ithaca Weston, Kaylee Peterson first in the 400 and Tristan Peterson in the 300 hurdles and also in the long jump. Clayton Lee had a big day for the Ithaca Weston boys with a personal best 447.89, taking first in the 1600 and first place in the 3200 with a 10.32.12. Not only a personal record, but a new Ithaca school record, previously held by Josh Clary back in 1991. Also, in baseball news from yesterday, Gary Sanchez gave the Brewers a 7-5 win and a split of the four-game series at Pittsburgh against the Pirates. Milwaukee earned the win despite an off game by ace Freddy Peralta. The Brewers start the weekend with a game against the Yankees. Colin Ray will be on the hill. Instead of getting one star back in the Bucks could be missing both Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton for tonight's playoff game. The series is tied at one. Officials say Middleton was limping in the first quarter of Tuesday's game. He did not practice yesterday. He has an apparent ankle injury. The Packers took Arizona offensive tackle Jordan Morgan with the 25th overall pick in the first round last night. At 6'5" and 325 pounds, Morgan allowed only two sacks during his senior year while playing 787 passing snaps. He talked about coming to the Packers, a place where one of his heroes, David Bakhtiari, has played.
Feels so great. I mean, I've been watching David Bakhtiari, following him and studying his...
His story was The Last Epoch, Wardens of Andromnial. For the reading, though, for Ben's work, he had a special presenter, his dad. So here is Ben Waterfall's dad reading his story, The Last Epoch, Wardens of Andromnial.
I'm Ben's dad. The Last Epoch, Wardens of Andromnial, by Ben Waterfall. Astoria grimaced. She had a rock in her shoe, and it was rubbing against her foot. She was walking home from school, which hadn't been exactly wonderful, to say the least. Most people didn't understand why she looked the way she did. Then again, most people had never met an elf before, and most people that met her weren't the most understanding either. Also, it didn't help that she had an uncanny knack for predicting things before they happened, and that she had near-perfect memory and was nothing short of genius. At least the gnomes understood her. Astoria spent most afternoons longing in the sun, lounging in the sun with the gnomes, talking about various technological treatises, and making theories about different planes of existence. Right now, she had to go home and grab her telescope of stargazing. She walked through the fringes of her town, Corliss, a farming village on the edge of the burning sea, which was named after the way it looks during sunrise. Her adoptive parents were cartographers and were busy working at their shop. Astoria reached her house and fumbled with the lock for a couple moments before opening the door. She hopped up the stairs of the house to her room. When she reached the room, she paused. The door was slightly ajar, and it definitely had not been like that when she had left that morning. Astoria carefully peeked around the corner and saw a small present in a gold box with a red bow tied around it. She hesitantly walked into her room and opened the present. Inside was a note with the following message. My dearest Astoria, I have gifted you an item very important to me. Keep it safe and use it well. Go to the library and you will find your future. Good luck. Astoria dug deeper into the package and found a large book, much too large to reasonably fit into the box. The book was entitled The Dryad Aeolus, or as Astoria somehow knew, The Book of Magic Knowledge. Curiously, she put it into the box and headed to the library. When she got to the library, it was closed as the night was setting in. Astoria carefully opened a side window and snuck into the building. At first glance, there was nothing out of place, just old, dusty books. Then Astoria noticed a large tome that was slightly out of place. She looked closer and saw that it was written in a different language, one so alien that she had no idea where it could be from. Astoria pulled it out of the bookcase and almost immediately dropped it on the floor because of how heavy it was. She carefully opened the book and found a necklet, a neckband, and laced with Arum, an extremely rare silver medal with an ice-colored gemstone set in the front, carved with runes. Astoria stared at the neckband for a bit before deciding to put it on. After all, she thought, what could go wrong? As soon as Astoria put on the necklace, a strong gust of wind blew through the library and an extremely tall, four-armed person appeared in front of her. Who dares summon us? Growled the figure, looking round with his eyeless face. It stopped when it saw Astoria, who shrunk back against the wall. Oh, said the creature. I didn't see you there. Sorry about the dramatics. It's just for show. Astoria swallowed. Okay. Speak up, little girl, said the creature. We can't hear you. Said Astoria, we? Yes, we, said the creature patiently. We are one person with many consciences. However, I, Karkatekin, am a controlling consciousness. Karkatekin? Asked Astoria. Well, said Karkatekin, no need to be so formal. Just call me Atek. Okay, said Astoria. Atek? Anyway, said Atek, anyone who puts on that neckband, he gestured towards Astoria's neck, summons me. Okay, said Astoria. Anything else? Well, yes, said Atek, one of his arms rubbing his neck. Anyone who summons me must agree to a mutual agreement. What kind of mutual agreement? Asked Astoria suspiciously. Well, you see, said Atek, fidgeting, an agreement of power. I give you power in exchange for servitude. Well, that seems dumb, said Astoria. Who wants to do that? Well, whoever wears the necklace, said Atek, gesturing towards Astoria's neck again. Can't take it off till they agree. Easy, said Astoria. I'll just take it off then. Well, said Atek, you can't take it off once you put it on. Oh, said Astoria, in that case, what are the terms of the agreement? Here we go, said Atek. One, I will give you magical power as long as you, two, do what I say. Don't worry, I won't have you do that much. I'll just need you to do some errands for me once in a while. Astoria sized up her options. After a while of thinking, she had come to her decision. Okay, she said, that's a deal. The next day was a Saturday, so Astoria went to visit the gnomes. When she got to the gnome encampment, she was surprised to see one of the gnomes, Rust Bucket, waiting for her. Grandfather Grimm wants to see you, Rust Bucket told her. It is very important. Confused and more than a little nervous, Astoria followed Rust Bucket to the Clanfather's tent. Inside was dark, and she could barely make out the form of Clanfather Grimm. Forgive me for the darkness, he said, snapping his fingers. Light flooded the tent, beaming from two small lanterns. You wanted me? Asked Astoria. Yes, indeed I did, and still do, said Grimm, stroking his long beard. What for? Asked Astoria. Not many things escape my notice, said Grimm, and your recent pact with Karkatekin isn't one of them. You are not safe here, Grimm continued. I am sending Rustbucket with you, and you will go find Adhvar, the Hidden Academy of Magic.
Well, there was the reading of Ben Waterfall's The Last Epoch, Wardens of Andromniel, and of course a team effort read by his dad. Really capping off the evening of just so much talent here in Southwest Wisconsin. Our congratulations go out to all of the students who came away with awards, but also to all 103 students who took part presenting their stories in this literary competition. Now, in addition to the schools that we mentioned earlier, second and third place winners were from St. Mary of the Assumption, and a second place winner was from Weston. Congratulations once more, and a big thank you to the teachers, parents, other family members, and of course, the members of Delta Kappa Gamma's Lambda chapter for holding this literary competition and hosting the evening in the Pippin One Room of the Richland Hospital.
If your driveway or parking lot is looking tired and in need of some maintenance, the best choice is Wiscoat of Lone Rock. Wiscoat, local people committed to the local area and committed to the best customer service possible. Using the best products and techniques, Wiscoat will clean, edge, patch, seal cracks, and apply seal coating. Call now for your free estimate and get your job scheduled for next spring. 608-354-7690. 608-354-7690. Visit Wiscoat.com or check Facebook for Wiscoat of Lone Rock.
An Evening with Spirit is coming Friday, April 26th at 7:30 p.m. at the Temple Theater in downtown Viroqua. Join renowned psychic medium Molly Morningstar for an unforgettable evening where the guests of honor are your loved ones in spirit. During this group event, she will connect with random audience members and demonstrate her unique ability to provide evidence of continuing connections to those we love in the afterlife. Purchase your tickets at RidgesandRiversBookFestival.org.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
Transform your outdoor space with TriStar Mulch in Richland Center.
your go-to destination for all of your landscaping needs. Whether it's gravel, washed gravel, decorative rock, black dirt, or the popular environmentally safe mulch in various colors, you are covered, loaded, or delivered. Their team offers friendly and professional service. Visit TriStar Mulch, located across from Simpson's Tractor in Richland Center, or call 383-1280 to place your order. No job is too big or too small. TriStar Mulch, where your landscaping dreams come to life. Call 383-1280 or visit them on Highway 14 East.
Get ready for a feast at the Wazika Fire Department Fish Fry this Saturday. Serving up all-you-can-eat fish and fixings starting at 3 p.m. at the fire station. Enjoy beverages on site or grab your meal to go. Plus, don't miss out on the excitement with gun raffles, prize giveaways, basket raffles, meat raffles, and a live auction. It's a delicious event for a great cause. See you there.
Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement is our guest on WRCO. Tom, how you doing these days?
Well, doing good, Phil. It's been unusual weather, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Now we've got some wet spell coming in and everything else. You know, spring is here, grass is growing, and people have been mowing. It hasn't been growing as fast as some people thought, but I tell you what, it gets away from you in a week from now, and you're going to wonder how in the heck you're going to get through that. So one of the nice things about our company is we handle some premium lines here, Aaron's and Gravely especially. Those units are designed to basically handle high grass and cut high and have the volume to make it happen. And key to that is that they're well built. They're designed to last 30 years or longer. And of course, we actually back them up with a lifetime guarantee of a loaner if you're ever down. Kind of an important thing. If you believe in a product, you really should back it. And that's what we do here at Mueller Implement. And so right now we have 0% for 36 months and or 2.5% off if you don't need the financing. But it ends on the 13th of May, so it's not a forever term program. And as all programs come and go, we have to pay attention. We have 5% off rebate on all of our Aaron's products. That ends the 1st of May, so that's not a long time. And then we have the ZTX and XL series with $150 rebate right now. And then the Stealth, which is basically an HD52 designed to go 8 miles an hour, looks like a Harley, acts like a Harley. And if you want to ride with the Harley boys, 8 miles an hour, that's how fast it'll go. So keep that in mind. That's a great product. It has aggressive tires, lights, and all kinds of gadgets on it. Stop in to see us. Or better yet, you know, you can go to our internet site, www.MuellerRental.com, or to Craigslist and punch in Mueller. You'll see our specials there. We're actually open 7:30 to 5:30 each day of the week, Monday through Friday, and 7:30 to 12:30 on Saturday. Great time for you to stop in and get a chance to ride and drive. By the way, everything's set up so you can. If you've never driven one, it's a great time to learn. And we have our self-propelled lawnmowers on hand right now, so I only have a few left. We only got four, so not trying to scare anybody, just trying to get you motivated and activated. Phil, I don't know what you do with the weather, but you seem to make things happen every week, and it's always different.
I know, and this weekend's going to be a little wet, it seems like, but as you mentioned, that's a guarantee that people are going to need Mueller Implement to your services or buy a new mower, because I think the grass is going to do real well this spring, don't you?
Yes, yes. Looks like we're going to go into the season with maybe enough rain to carry us quite a while. We don't know. Anytime we can have rain, we better take it. That's the key.
Yep.
So at Dodgeville, Wisconsin, you have a chance to come and visit us. We're at 4948 Highway YZ, right across from Midwest Roofing. And, of course, the little guys, our neighbors, Farm and Fleet, they're still in business and remodeled, and they look good. So stop and see them as well. The key, though, is getting here. And when you get here, you're going to be surprised at the volume and the amount of different units we have. 29 different models as far as Gravely and Aaron's, and then we have a slew of new products that we've added to our line, along with the automobiles coming for us now. We're going to have a GPS-operated lawnmower that will run around and cut your lawn, and it'll dock itself every 2 hours and go back out and keep cutting. It is really the epitome of new concepts, and it's all GPS-guided, so no wires in the ground, and it's a new product for us. We're excited about it. You'll see it working here at Mueller-Ipment. We'll probably be installing one here in about a week. And so when you come by and you're wondering, what the heck's that running around on his lawn? Well, that little orange piece of item is actually mowing my lawn 24/7.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun to see that. But, you know, there's so much to see in our industry, so much technology leaps and et cetera. We have better engines today. We have better products today, better hydros. The nice thing about our industry is we haven't gone cheap. We've gone just the opposite way. We're talking about quality controlled, improved, made upon so that it lasts you a lifetime.
Might be cheaper for me to buy a goat, though, than that automatic robo lawnmower, though, wouldn't it, or not?
Well, yeah, goats are cheaper. I realize that. But the other side of that is there's a byproduct with goats that I'm not sure I want to step on.
Have a good one there, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Tom Mueller joining us from Mueller Implement in Dodgeville.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.